Wildwood Community Church, we are for following Jesus together to the glory of God. We're for the church, for the community, for the nations, and for the next generation. To contact us or for more information, see our website at wildwoodchurch.org.
Friends, if you were with us last Sunday, you know that we began a new sermon series called Fired Up, the Holy Spirit and the Believer. And inside of this series, which is going to take us from Easter all the way to Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate when the Spirit came to indwell the hearts and lives of believers in Jesus Christ, about 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, in this series, we're talking about the gift that the Holy Spirit truly is. It was Jesus himself, we saw this last Sunday, who said to his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." Jesus said, it is better, there's something better than having me beside you. It is having my Spirit inside of you. He said, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So what is the advantage of the Holy Spirit? And what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of believers? Friends, that's what we're talking about in this series, as Jesus has instructed us in John chapters 14 through 16. We began last week with an introduction. Today we're going to see some of the first of the advantages that the Spirit brings to the believer. And we're going to see that in part two of this series, looking at John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, and chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. But before we look at those verses, I want to just bring back to your mind a really cool event that happened here at Wildwood about a month ago. About a month ago, we invited to come up here to Wildwood two musicians and their band from Dallas, Texas, Shane and Shane. And they gathered with us in this room on a Sunday night and led us in an amazing time of worship. Many of you were a part of that night. Now, I want you to know that as I talked to the band after the concert was over, they universally said this, "Your people sing." Now, you got to know, they didn't say, "Your people sing well," but they did say, "Your people sing." And when they said that, I was like, of course, because we're singing the same songs that we sing every Sunday. You know, just a moment ago, we sang Shane and Shane's arrangement of Psalm 90. And so this is music that we are familiar with, and it was a joy to sing it with those that authored the music. But just by virtue of having them here at our place, we got to spend some time with them, both on and off the stage. This, by the way, is my little sly flex here that Greg and I got to have dinner with them along with some others before the concert. But in our time with them, we were able to learn about their life and ministry and what was going on. And then on stage, they were able to share with all of us kind of the stories behind the songs. And I thought, what a blessing and privilege it is when we get the chance to spend time with the author or with the artist. Now, I don't know if any of you have had a similar experience in your life where there is someone who has written something or has drawn something and painted something, sculpted something that was impactful to you, and then you got to spend some time with them and you got to hear the story behind the music. But whether you've had that experience or not, I have some fantastic news for each of you. And that news is this: the author of the world's bestseller, you have access to all of the time. Because the Holy Spirit of God, who inspired the Holy Word of God, has come to reside within the hearts and lives of all who trust in Christ. And we have access to him, not just sometimes, not just when we're in this room or when the Holy Spirit travels to this place, but we have access to him all the time wherever we are. What a gift and what a blessing to have access to the author of the artist of life. Well, where do we see that idea found in Scripture? And how do we make sense and appropriate it to our lives? That's what we're going to see today as we talk again from John 14 and 16 about the Holy Spirit's role with truth. I want to read for us these verses, and then after I read them, I'll back up and make a couple of observations this morning. We'll begin in chapter 14 of John's Gospel in verse 25. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then continuing on in chapter 16 and verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, Jesus said, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, friends, what do we learn from these verses about the Holy Spirit and the gift of truth? Well, I want us to see two things today. The first thing I want us to see is this. The Holy Spirit authors the Holy Bible. The Holy Spirit authors the Holy Bible. Now, where do we see that inside of these verses? In order to understand that, we really need to look at the context of John chapters 14 through 16. We saw this last Sunday. Jesus, after spending 3 years in a very public ministry with his disciples, knew that the time was soon arriving where he would go to the cross, resurrect from the grave, and then ascend to the Father. For 3 years, he had been beside them, but the time was soon coming when he would be in heaven and they would still be here on earth. And Jesus knew that that was going to be the case. As he gathered with them to celebrate the feast of Passover, to have the Last Supper, he knew that his hour had come to depart and to go and be with the Father. So he was preparing his disciples in these moments for the reality that they would experience when he would ascend on high. And since we live today in an era where Jesus is ascended on high in heaven, Jesus is preparing us for this moment as well. Well, the second thing we need to know is not only did Jesus know of his imminent departure, but also Jesus had taught his disciples many things. We saw this in verse 25 that I just read. These things I have spoken to you while I am still here with you. Jesus had taught them a number of things. He had revealed a lot of God's truth to those disciples. But the question that you and I might begin to wonder, and the thing that we might want to ask, is this. What would happen when Jesus left? Would they remember the right stuff? I mean, let me just ask a question. How many of you have ever forgotten anything? Okay, about half of you have forgotten something. The other half forgot that you forgot. Trust me, you have forgotten something. Now, let me ask an even more important question. Have you ever forgotten something important? A birthday, an anniversary, an important project, something that you said that you were going to do that you didn't do. See, all of us are forgetful people, and the disciples were no different. They were forgetful people. So if Jesus had revealed all this truth about himself to them and they were supposed to preserve it, to write it down for you and me, how do we know that they wrote down the right stuff? How do we know that they didn't forget something important? Well, friends, this is where Jesus' gift comes in. Jesus sends a helper to help make sure that the right stuff was communicated. We saw this last Sunday. He promises a helper who would come. We saw this in John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And this helper who would come would be someone who was so associated with the truth that Jesus would call him the Spirit of Truth. So the Spirit of Truth would help the disciples remember the truth. And who was the Spirit of Truth? None other than the Holy Spirit. We saw this from verse 26 that I just read. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will bring to your remembrance the things that we talked about. You see, the communication of the revelation of Jesus was to be preserved for future generations. And the way that would happen was through the Spirit coming and empowering the transmission of the Word of God. See, the Spirit was to come and to help teach the truth. Just look at what Jesus said about it. In chapter 14, verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Spirit would remind them. would bring back to their mind the things that they were to communicate, the important stuff. So we don't have everything that Jesus did, but we have everything that Jesus did that you and I are supposed to know about. It was communicated inside of the New Testament. Why? Because the Spirit was at work in that moment. Not only did the Spirit remind them of this truth, but the Spirit also explained the truth to them. We see this in chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." By the way, teachers, this is a principle we need to remember, right? People can't bear all the truth at one time. They can't handle everything that you know about a subject in one sitting. It's just more information than we can possibly fathom. As a matter of fact, Jack Nicholson had it right when he said, "You can't handle the truth," right? Jesus understood this with the disciples. He understood that they couldn't handle it all in one shot. That's why the Spirit was to come, the Spirit of truth, and he will guide them into all the truth. The implications of everything Jesus said would be made clear through the direction of the Spirit in due time. The education would continue. The Spirit came to remind. The Spirit came to explain. But the Spirit also came to reveal things about the future. Verse 13 ends, "The Spirit will come and declare to you the things that are to come." There would be prophecy that the Spirit would bring to mind. Certainly things that would include things that would happen in the church age from the time of Jesus' ascension until the time of his return, but also would be revelation pertaining to the kingdom and to the new heaven and to the new earth. See, the Spirit was to come and to fill in the gaps, to continue the education that began through Jesus' life and earthly ministry, reminding, explaining, and revealing. And this message that was being communicated through the New Testament, through the writing of these things that was prompted by the Spirit, would be consistent with the message that Jesus taught, because the Holy Spirit who was prompting it was none other than God himself. We saw this last Sunday. Our God has revealed himself as a Trinitarian God, existing eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one in essence. When we think about this Trinitarian God, it means that the three-in-one God that exists communicates a consistent message. There's unity in the message that is communicated, so that if it is said through Jesus who was among them, or whether it was said through the Spirit who was prompting and reminding them of what to say, since there is unity in the Godhead, there was unity in message, whether it was prompted by Jesus or whether it was prompted by the Spirit. This is really what Jesus says in verses 13 through 15. He says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. Do you see the Trinity reference there? Father, Son, in Spirit, with a unified message for the people of God, a unified message for you and for me. You know, sometimes we look at our Bibles and we like the red letters more. If you got a red letter Bible, because those are the words that are in quotation marks that Jesus said. But when we understand that the Word of God came as a product of the Spirit of God's work, and we understand that there's unity in voice between Jesus and the Spirit, then we can begin to understand that they're all red letters because it's all the Word of God. D.A. Carson helps us understand this a little more when he says this. He says, "The Spirit's ministry in this respect was not to bring qualitatively new revelation, but to complete, to fill out the revelation brought by Jesus himself." There's a unity of message, a consistency of message from Jesus and from the Spirit. Now, when I say the Spirit in the Bible, you might have a question. What do you mean, the Spirit in the Bible? How does this even work? Well, follow this logic. First thing we might say is this: the Spirit comes to live inside of the disciples. We saw this last Sunday in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. The Holy Spirit came to reside in a permanent way in the lives of the followers of Jesus. Well, once the Spirit arrives, what does the Spirit do? The Spirit reminds, explains, and reveals the things that the disciples were to remember and to record for others. And then not only does the Spirit of God do those things that we've already looked at, but also the Spirit of God prompts and protects the writing of the Scripture. Now, in order to see that principle, we need to bounce outside of John 14 and 16 and look at the writings of one who was present for these words that Jesus said. Peter was one of the disciples that Jesus was talking to that day. So what does Peter come to understand about the task that he had in writing things like 1 and 2 Peter, which are included in our New Testament? Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, "Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by who? By the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came, the Spirit reminded, explained, and revealed, and then the Spirit prompted and protected those disciples in recording the revelation of Jesus for you and for me." And this became a part of the very foundation of the church. See, this particular ministry, the writing of Scripture, is unique to the disciples, unique to the first century. The New Testament is not an ongoing open document. It's a closed canon, because this ministry of the Spirit in recording the Scripture was unique to that era. Something that we see hinted at in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." The apostles and the prophets, those disciples in that era, God uses to create the foundation of the church through the transmission of the Word of God. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The Spirit was at work creating a foundation and a house and a group and a people for us to be a part of. This is the Spirit's work, the creation of the Scripture. But you want to see it another place? This is kind of fun. See it even in another location. What about the Spirit in the Bible? How about this? Reminding what Jesus said, what does that sound like to you? It sounds like what's in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we have the recording of the ministry of Jesus, the things that they were reminded to write down. Not only do we see that there, but what about the things that are explained, the implications of Jesus' message that are explained for the followers of God? The Spirit guiding into all truth. What does that sound like? It sounds like the epistles. Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians and James and 1 and 2 Timothy and others. Friends, these letters that were written explain the implications of the message of Christ. But not only reminding and explaining, but also revealing what is to come. And the best example of that in the New Testament is found where? It's found in the book of Revelation. So what do we have here with the Spirit in the Bible? What does that look like to you? It looks like the New Testament. The Spirit is a gift of God given among the people of God to produce the Word of God to keep us secure and on the foundation of Jesus Christ for ages to come. What a gift the Spirit is connected to truth. So, what are some implications for you and for me? First implication I would say is this: the Bible is a supernatural book. It's not just some other book. But the Bible is a supernatural book. If the Holy Spirit moved the people along to remind them and to explain and to reveal the truth of God, then this is unlike any other book that you will ever read. This is the Word of God. And if it's the Word of God, then friends, that means that it's the ace of spades. Now, I realize that not everyone plays cards, specifically the game spades. So let me explain the rules of the game of spades. In the game spades, if you have the ace of spades, that card wins every time. If you play the ace of spades, you will win that hand. That's how important that card is. And when it comes to the Word of God, when I say the Bible is the ace of spades, what I mean is on the areas to which the Bible speaks, it is always authoritative. It is always right. It trumps our emotion. It trumps our culture. It trumps our expectations. It communicates the truth consistently and always. The Bible is the ace of spades. Third implication we might think of is this. We might thank God that He sent the Spirit. Because if the Spirit had not come, we couldn't have confidence in this book. We couldn't have confidence in the New Testament. Modern critical scholars that try to poke holes in the authenticity of the New Testament, those arguments might ring more true if there wasn't a Spirit of God who was protecting, preserving, reminding, explaining, and revealing. And so, thank God that the Spirit came. And you might even do that before you open the Word. Not just thank God for your Word, but thank God for the Spirit of God that made the Word and the communication of the Word even possible. And the last thing I'd say is this. Read the Bible. Just read it. Just read it. I mean, we live in an amazing era. Our access to the Word of God in this era is better than any other era that has ever existed. You know, most of us carry around a device that we look at way too much. And inside of that device, if we put it on there, we can have the Bible both written and read aloud for us. What an amazing thing. Arranged in different reading plans so that we could access it and read it. And we have very readable, understandable translations in our mother language that we can open and read. We have been given an incredible gift, so are we reading it? You know, I've used this illustration before, but it's worth repeating here. You got to know that there are some pieces of mail that come to my house that I don't read. I don't even open them because I know it's just another advertisement or whatever, and I just rip it up and I throw it away. But I want you to know that if you wrote me a letter, I promise you I would not tear it up. I would read it, and I would commit it to memory. Because it's a letter from you, our, my dear congregation, right? Like, you know, we handle pieces of mail differently. If it's from a friend, if it's intended for us, we read it. We might read it again. But if it's just something else, we might ignore it. Friends, the Bible is God's revelation to us, given to us so that we might read it and understand it and know it. It's not a book like anything else. It's one of the implications of the fact that the Holy Spirit authors the Holy Bible. There's a second thing I want us to see today. And that second thing I want us to see is this. The Holy Spirit guides a holy people. The Holy Spirit authors the Holy Bible. That's what happened in the first century in the creation of the New Testament. But is there an ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit that is teaching us even still today? And the answer to that is yes. Because one of the things that the Spirit does is it guides us into all truth. Therefore, if the Spirit of God is present in our lives, and the Spirit of God is present in your life if you have trusted in Christ, then the Spirit of God will continue to be teaching you and me today. It'll continue to guide. So what does that look like for us? Well, the first thing that we might think about as we think about the Spirit inside of you and me is this. The Spirit teaches us over time. The Spirit teaches us over time. Just as Jesus understood that he couldn't communicate everything to his disciples in 3 years of public ministry together, so also God understands that we can't handle all the truth either. We need to learn things over time. And the Spirit of God is in a unique position in the hearts and lives of believers to help shine new light on God's old text every time we read it. Has that ever happened to you? You come to a passage that you've read many, many times, and then you read it again, and you're like, wow, I didn't even see that before. It's always been there, but it's new to you. What happens in that moment? There's a loving God who understands that you could not bear it initially to learn everything, but he's continuing to teach you through the ministry of the Spirit, who is teaching us over time the truth of God as revealed in Scripture. Second thing, we think about the Spirit's teaching ministry in our lives. The Spirit is helping us remember truth. Spirit's helping us remember truth. You know, we are prone to forget things as well. And we're even prone to forget important things. like God's word. So wouldn't it make sense for us to go before God on a regular basis before we start our day and say, God, as I live out my life today, might you bring to my mind relevant aspects of your word that are connected to the moments that I'm living? Because I want to follow you. So Lord, just help these dots connect in my life. Well, friends, that's something that we can do with confidence, because what does the Spirit do for us? The Spirit reminds us of the truth. And so if we have trusted in Christ, God's Spirit lives in us, and God's Spirit can bring to our minds the aspects of God's truth that we need for the moments as we live them. Isn't that great? It's one of the teaching ministries of the Spirit inside of us. Third thing, the Spirit guides us to understand. Have you ever read something and you didn't understand it? Ever read something in the Bible and just went, huh? Okay, I'm the only one. But it happens. We read the scripture and we're like, I don't know what that means. Wouldn't it be great if we could ask the author what he intended when he wrote that? Guess what? We can, because the Spirit of God resides in your heart, in your life. We can have a confidence. Lord, help me understand what you meant when you said this. What an opportunity to have access to the author of the scripture. The Spirit is in you and me. And friends, make no mistake, the Spirit is present in our lives. If you have trusted in Christ, then you're a part of a new covenant relationship with him. When Jesus gathered with his disciples for the Last Supper, he said that that Last Supper, the communion meal, it was a reminder of a new covenant relationship with him established with his blood. And that new covenant is described in Jeremiah chapter 31 this way. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Not just tablets on the outside, not just a book out here, but the author of that book in here. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. We have the author of Scripture. We have access to the author of Scripture wherever we are. What a gift, what a blessing. This would prompt John to write in his epistle of 1 John. Same John that wrote his gospel, wrote a letter called 1 John. And this is what he says. He says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Now, what John was saying was there are people who are going to try to deceive you. There's going to be people who try to distract you. But we have a defense against that kind of distraction or deception. And that defense is the Spirit of God that is present in the hearts and lives of people. Now, I want to think about this for just a moment with you. If John here says that there is no longer a need for a teacher that because of the Spirit's coming, then you might wonder, well, Pastor, what are you doing then? Why not just wrap up in prayer? Because it sure sounds like you're teaching. Well, here's what I think is going on. See, that the gift of teaching is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In this series, we'll eventually get to gifts in ministry. And one of those gifts is teaching. But I think what John is getting at and the way we connect all these dots is this. When someone teaches, the fruit of their ministry is still dependent upon the work of the Spirit. It's not just the personality or the declaration of the teacher, but there is a higher authority. There is a word of truth and there is a Spirit of truth. So that when I teach, if something doesn't sit right, then it's possible that it's the Spirit of God in you that is bringing to your mind that we are distorting in some way this written book. You see, both you and I are subject to the same God. And that God has made himself available, not just to those on the stage, but those in the room, those who have placed their faith in Christ. He has given both the word of truth and he has given the Spirit of truth. And collectively together, we pursue him. Accountable to the same God together. See, we have the Spirit. It's one of the ministries of of the Spirit as it relates to the believer. Now, why was the Bible even given? Again, this is a big question. I'll summarize it quickly. The Bible was given, friends, to reveal God to us. In John chapter 1, it talks about the living word of God coming and dwelling among the people to reveal God to his people. And if that was true of the living word of God, friends, it is also true of the written word of God. So one of the big purposes of God's written word is that we would get to know who God is. But the second thing that the Bible was given for is to equip us for life. Not just to introduce us to God, that's an important foundational part of what the scripture is about, but also to equip us for the life that God has called us to live. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 makes that very clear. The scripture is God-breathed, and it's intended for correction and for training in righteousness among the people of God. So we're not just to read it, and we're not just to memorize it, we're not just to know it, but we're to have it transform the way that we behave, the way that we live. Now, these actions, revealing and equipping us for life, these are what the Spirit does. If you want to pray and ask the Spirit to work in your study of God's word, then pray this way. God, as I study your word, may I get to know you better. And God, as I study your word, may I understand more the direction that you want me to walk. That's what the Spirit is doing in his work with the word of God. You know, sometimes people erroneously find this false dichotomy between the Bible and the Spirit. They want to say something like this: the Spirit of God, I'll trust, but the Bible is an outdated, archaic book, and so I'm going to trust the Spirit over the Bible. Or sometimes you might even hear someone say, I trust the Bible over the Spirit. But here's the thing. We don't need to make that dichotomy. Why? Who wrote the Bible? The Spirit of God. And so we can have confidence, dear friends, that the Spirit of God will always lead us consistent with the direction that he has pointed out in his word, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is headed in a direction. And if we want to follow where the Spirit is leading, then get in touch with how the Spirit has revealed God's will to us inside of his word. Now, I want to conclude this section by just highlighting some ways that we can pray as we go to study God's word to take benefit of what the Spirit wants to do as we study it. And these four prayers are not original to me. They're actually a part of a Bible reading plan called the Bible Recap. There are four prayers that are mentioned at the beginning of each day that I've found to be quite helpful in my own life. So what are those four prayers? The first one is this: God, give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. As you go to study the Bible, God, help me understand what you're trying to reveal to me inside of this about who you are. Second thing, let any knowledge gained help me love you and others more, not puff me up. We're not trying to win a Bible trivia contest when we study. We're trying to understand what it looks like to follow God, to love him, and to love others. Third thing, help me see something new about you today that I haven't seen before. Remember, he's revealing things to us progressively, things that we didn't see before that we see this time. We read a passage, we'd have that expectation because of how Jesus described the ministry of the Spirit. And then fourth, direct my steps according to your word. Lord, what do you want me to do in response to what I've read? Friends, these are things that are helpful for us as we see how the Holy Spirit guides us to be a holy people consistent with his word. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word today. Lord, I pray that you would just guide us collectively as a group to really have an appreciation for how you have revealed yourself to us through your word. And Lord, that we would be dependent upon your Spirit in our understanding of your word, but also in our response to it. Lord, we thank you that we can follow you and that you have made that possible through your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.